It has been a blessing for me to be able to be with you here again today. I appreciate the invitation and a blessing to see you continuing in the way following after Christ. It's always an encouragement as year after year we see God's people faithful in their commitment to the Lord Jesus and relying upon the grace of God. Let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Just really on the opposite page of where we were this morning in Colossians 1. Philippians chapter 4, and I want to begin reading at verse 10, and we'll read down to verse 13. Philippians 4 and verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Now let's look again to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your kindness to us tonight, giving us another privilege to gather with your people and worship you. And we do ask that you would come among us tonight and bless your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit would be ministering to our hearts and bringing the truth to build us up in our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, as we consider a new year before us, may we look to you, our God, that you will guide us and that you will provide for us everything that we need to keep following the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen. This evening, as we take up this well-known text here in Philippians 4 and verse 13, it's a wonderful reminder of where our strength comes as Christians for daily living. It's easy to be overwhelmed in the Christian life, to ask the question, how am I going to do everything that God has called me to do? You might just be reading your Bible faithfully day after day, and it seems like every day there's something that God is challenging you to do. Or maybe it's sitting under biblical preaching and you hear again those exhortations week after week. This is the will of God for your life. And you take it all in, but you stop and ask often, how can I do all of this? And you recognize my sins are not only of commission, breaking God's law, but sins of omission, failing to do all that God has called you to do. Many circumstances in our lives bring us to ask questions like this. How can I continue on? How can I live for Christ? It might be a medical difficulty, a chronic ailment that just plagues you day after day. And you get worn down from the lack of relief, the pain that just seems to be constant, whatever it is. And you think, how can I continue on? How can I serve the Lord? It might be living in the midst of a difficult marriage. And if you're a husband, you might be asking the Lord, how can I love my wife the way I'm supposed to? Maybe as a wife, you're saying, how can I submit and respect that man? And you wonder, Lord, how am I going to continue on? Recently, I was speaking with a woman at church, and she was explaining to me some of the difficulties through which she was going in her own life. And she basically said, I don't know if I can do it anymore. Those kinds of questions and struggles are not unusual in the Christian life. And our greatest need as we face questions and struggles like that is to gaze at our Lord Jesus Christ and to recognize that in His life and in His death and in His present ministry in heaven for us, there is an inexhaustible supply of resource to give to us all that we need day after day for the performance of the will of God. So in essence, Paul wants to exhort us, in the midst of all that you're called to do, just keep looking to Jesus. And as you look to the Lord Jesus, you will find in Him that strength to do all that He has called you to do every day. Now, to help and encourage us tonight, I want us to consider these well-known words of Paul here in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Here is a text that's good for us to return to periodically and to be challenged by these words to have great confidence in our Lord Jesus. And to be reminded of our need to come continually, day after day, to the Lord Jesus for His strengthening power. So I want us to look at this statement of the Apostle Paul tonight and consider it, first of all, as a statement of confident ability. A statement of confident ability. As we consider these awesome words, I can do all things. It's important for us to remember the situation out of which the Apostle Paul spoke them with the help of the Holy Spirit. Paul was in prison in Rome. It's the same context as what we were considering this morning from his letter to the Colossians. And this imprisonment for Paul had been a very lengthy ordeal. It had begun several years before back in Jerusalem, where he was visiting there and performing his service to the Lord, and he was attacked by the mob, dragged out of the temple, and they wanted to kill him. And then he was rescued by the Roman soldiers, taken up into their place and stretched out on the rack to be beaten, and only saved because he happened to be a Roman citizen. Then transferred to Caesarea, where he was in confinement for about 2 years. And then you remember that very difficult sea journey to Rome where he experienced the terrible shipwreck. And then in Rome under house arrest, chained to soldiers for about 2 years. And so from a human perspective, Paul had been shut down. And this trial that he was awaiting weighed so heavily on his mind. He tells us early in Philippians that he had this struggle between wanting to live and wanting to die. These were no easy circumstances out of which Paul made this statement. And yet during this time, he did experience the most incredible opportunities for the gospel. He had the opportunity to preach before kings and Roman governors. He had the opportunity to live out the gospel and testify to many people on his way to Rome. He had been an active witness to the Roman soldiers to which he was chained, so that the news of his commitment to Christ was known all throughout the regiment. In addition, Christians in Rome had been stirred up to preach the gospel. And so in reality, Paul had not been shut down, God had just channeled his efforts along different avenues. Now, the more immediate context of Paul's statement here is the different economic situations that he had faced throughout this whole ordeal. On the one hand, he had been abased and brought very low. On the other hand, there were times when he was able to abound. He had a lot of resources. At times, he says, he was hungry. At other times, full. It was almost like he was able to banquet. There were occasions when he was a very poor man, other occasions when he lived like a rich man because of the gifts that would come in from various churches. And he tells us here that God had taught him how to be content in whatever circumstance he was in, happy when he was poor, thankful when he was rich. These circumstances brought him to this confident assertion of ability, I can do all things. Paul was obviously no pacifist as a Christian, no promoter of a let go and let God theology. I'll just sit back and wait and see what God does. No, he had been redeemed by the grace of God. He had been thoroughly changed in every part of his being, and he was ready to throw himself into doing all of the will of God. And he believed that he had the ability to do whatever God called him to do. If the Lord would open the doors of that prison, then he would travel the earth again, preaching the gospel and establishing churches. If God kept the prison doors shut, then he would continue his witness in prison and promote the kingdom with whatever means were available. And he would do it with joy and contentment, displaying the kind of Christian attitude that would bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the all things that Paul speaks of here are obviously not whatever a man could dream of. He didn't think he had the ability to fly to the moon or jump off a cliff. It was whatever God wanted him to do, whatever duty God called him to do, whatever circumstances God placed him in, he could do it. He would do it. He was confident of his ability in the Christian life. And so this is a statement of confident ability. But then secondly, we recognize it's also a statement of complete dependence. It's a statement of complete dependence. Dependence. Now, if we only had the first part of the verse, we would think that Paul had imbibed the Stoic philosophy of the day. The Stoic philosophy, that was Greek philosophers who believed that they had within them the power of the human spirit to conquer any situation that they faced. Just take a deep breath, grit your teeth, and you can get through any situation. That's what they preached. Theirs was a pull yourself up by your bootstraps theology. It was the ancient counterpart of our power of positive thinking today. Just think that you can do it, and you can do it. Now, Paul rejected that outright. It had no part in his thinking. Though he made this statement of confident ability, I can do all things, it was not a statement of self-confidence. He believed that if he were left to himself, he would be an absolute failure. And so his statement of confident ability rested solely on this statement of complete dependence. He knew that his ability to do anything in life rested on his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, that is the secret of an active Christian life. It's to have a vital relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now, the literal words that Paul used could be translated like this: I can do all things in Christ, or in Him. The language that he uses is his familiar terminology of union with Christ. That I am in Christ. My life is in Christ. It's attached to the Lord Jesus. It's that teaching that in our salvation, God has so vitally united us to the Lord Jesus in a relationship that is similar to that of the union of a husband and wife, or the living union between a vine and its branches. Paul would teach us that as we abide in the Lord Jesus, as we live in Him, as we draw near to Him through His appointed means, then the grace of His life and of His death flows into our lives, and we are enabled to do what God has called us to do. We're so familiar with these words, through Him who strengthens me, that perhaps they have lost something of their meaning for us. We could as accurately translate, I can do all things in Him who empowers me, or in Him who infuses strength into me. The picture is of the power of Christ flowing into our lives, enabling us to do the things that God has called us to do. Perhaps a familiar picture from the ministry of our Lord Jesus in the Gospels would be helpful. Think of that man, the paralytic, brought to the Lord Jesus by his four friends. If there's a picture of helplessness and inability in the Gospel, it would be that man. There he is on the stretcher, and he's being carried by his four friends. He has no power even to come to Christ, to find the Lord Jesus, to ask for healing. And so his friends bring him. And the house is jam-packed, so they can't even get inside. So there must have been an outdoor staircase. And they go up onto the roof and remove some of the tiles and let this man down in front of our Lord Jesus Christ. His limbs were paralyzed. He had no ability to do anything. But at the word of Christ, when the Lord Jesus said to him, arise, take up your mat and go home, this man who had no ability to do anything had all the ability to do what Christ called him to do. He got up, he took his bed, and he went home. Here's a real story in which we just see a tremendous display of the power of God, but also a vivid illustration of our Savior's ability to empower people. Because God never calls anyone to do anything that He doesn't give them power to be able to perform. Think of Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus. He had less ability than the paralytic. He was dead. Not just paralyzed, but no life at all. His body even starting to decay. And when Jesus called into that sepulcher, Lazarus, come forth, he surely had no power on his own to be able to respond to the call of Christ. But it was that very word of the Lord Jesus that carried with it the power that Lazarus needed to get up off that stone bed and to walk out of the tomb. The ministry of Jesus proclaims clearly, He is the one who empowers His people. Now we see this many times in the life of Paul himself. This was not just a theological statement of truth. that he was seeking to teach and persuade Christian people about. It was a theology that he had experienced in his own personal life. Before he had been saved, as we know, sin was the motivating factor of his life. But that all changed with salvation. Christ now became the driving force, and he readily confessed his inability, contrasted with the amazing power of the Lord Jesus. Listen to some of his words scattered through his letters as he writes to Timothy and reminds him of his experience of conversion and call to the ministry. He says this in 1 Timothy 1:12. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Why was Paul a gospel preacher? Was it because he had great oratorical skills? Was it because he had a great mind to understand theology and explain it to people? Was it because he had all of this personal ability that just made him a leader of people? Paul says, "Christ has enabled me. That's why I'm in the ministry. He has empowered me. He has strengthened me to take up this work." We could think of that famous incident in 2 Corinthians 12 of his thorn in the flesh. Very strange experience. A messenger of Satan coming to buffet him, to fight against him. And the entire experience being like a thorn in his flesh. I don't know if you've ever had a thorn in your flesh. I like to grow roses. And roses have thorns. And so sometimes you get a thorn stuck in your flesh. And when that happens, it doesn't take me a millisecond. I'm trying to get that out as fast as I can. It's a terrible experience. And yet Paul had this thorn in the flesh, and he prayed to God, "Lord, take it away." And God said no. And Paul, in the midst of that, was able to confess, "When I am weak, then I am strong." Not because of his own power, but because in his weakness, he was learning to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was being reminded by God, "Paul, you don't have it, but Christ, your Savior, does. And if you go to him, you will have power to do all that I have called you to do." Here's this experience in prison. Not the kind of nice prisons that you have today, you know, a comfortable bed and meals brought to you and television and a basketball court and all kind of things like that. You were stuck somewhere, and if your friends didn't help you, you had no hope. It was a desperate situation, a lonely situation. And yet Paul is experiencing, even here, the power of the Lord Jesus to help him, so that when the money is dried up and he's thinking, "What am I going to eat tomorrow?" he can do it because Christ empowers him. You think about the end of his life, 2 Timothy, when he's again in prison, and this time pretty certain that he's going to face that executioner's sword. And he has that terrible experience of being forsaken by his friends. Must have been terrible. He could say this in writing to Timothy, speaking of the trial, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." That's how Paul could do it. That's how he could stand in Caesar's court and give a bold confession of the Lord Jesus Christ and not back away from anything he believed or had ministered over the years of his life. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. This wasn't just speculative theology. It wasn't just some nice illustrations he was able to give to people. Oh yes, if you abide in Christ like the branches in the vine, you'll have power. He could speak of that because he knew it true in his own life. This weak man is strong when I rely upon the Lord Jesus. So we ask ourselves, do we feel burdened down, weighed down by this great amount of Christian duty? Do we come to points in our life and we just say, I don't think I can do it anymore? Paul would say to us, look to Jesus because he can empower you. Dear ladies, maybe you're struggling with your responsibilities from day to day and maybe struggling with your submission to your husband. How can you do it? How can you continue on? Well, look to the Lord Jesus. He can empower you. Maybe there's a young Christian here tonight and you have privately called to the Lord for salvation. But you've never made a public stand. You've never been baptized. You've never come before God's people and said, I am now trusting in the Lord Jesus. And you wonder, how can I have the strength to come forward for baptism and church membership? Well, here's the answer. Look to the Lord Jesus. He can empower you. He can give you what you need for every experience. Several years ago at Christmas time, someone gave me a book written by Faith Cook. Lady Jane Grey, 9-Day Queen of England. Maybe you're familiar with Lady Jane Grey. If you're not, I would encourage you to get something and read about her. Her story is, well, it's fascinating. These were the days of the English Reformation in the 1500s. Henry VIII, that powerful king with all the wives, had died. He had brought forward something of a political reformation because he wanted to be king for sure in England and not have the influence of the Pope there, so he threw Rome off. But it was just really a political reformation. And then he died, and his young son Edward took over, just a boy. And it appears that Edward was truly converted, a lover of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even as a boy and a young teenager, he sought to use all of his authority to further the Reformation in England. And great things happened in only a few years there in the religious situation in England. But then as a teenager, he got very sick. And they were pretty sure that he was going to die. And so that they came up with this plan. The next in line to the throne, blood-wise, was his sister Mary, and they knew she was a committed Catholic and would seek to return England to the Catholic fold, back to Rome. And so they came up with this plan that they would put Jane, Lady Jane Grey, forward. She was Edward's cousin. And so when Edward died, this is what they did. They put Jane on the throne, they crowned her, proclaimed her queen. But it was a short reign of only 9 days. Because the armies supporting Mary were stronger than the armies supporting Jane, and they quickly sort of ran away, and Mary with her armies marched into London. Lady Jane, 16 years old. Think of a 16-year-old or someone close to that age. 16 years old. She's imprisoned in the Tower of London for a long imprisonment. There, she's brought into some disputations because Mary wanted to avoid the appearance of murdering her cousin, a 16-year-old girl. And so they thought, well, if we can just get her to recant her Protestant faith and come back to Rome, we'll avoid an execution. And so Mary sent her best chaplain to debate with this 16-year-old girl. So you've got an adult male trained theologian debating with a 16-year-old on the subjects of justification by faith and the doctrine of the Lord's table. 16 years old. She held her ground on the foundation of the scriptures and would not give an inch, so that even the chaplain had to testify to the strength of her faith. Her whole family was in trouble. They were imprisoned. And she wrote letters to her father and to her sister, forgiving them for their part in pushing her forward, which brought her into her present circumstances, and urging them to trust in the Lord Jesus before death. She had to watch the beheading of her husband. And then she had to prepare for her own death when the determination came that she had to be done away with. It was unsafe to keep her there in prison. How did she do it? 16-year-old girl. Listen to these words of Faith Cook. In the interval between the two visits, Jane had grappled with the terrors of death, and by the grace and help of God had overcome that dread so natural to the human heart. She had come to terms with that swift, searing pain that she must experience as the prelude to the crown of life promised to all those who are faithful unto death. Now, any delay could only be an added burden. Jane had prayed earnestly that in the hour of her need, God would be to her a strong tower of defense, and that she would not be tried beyond her ability to endure. Arm me, I beseech thee, that I may stand fast, had been her earnest cry. And her composure at this moment, the ultimate test of her resolve, was a clear indication that God had heard her cry. Now here's the point. If God can strengthen a 16-year-old girl to have such an incredible witness for Christ, He can strengthen you. He can enable you to do all that you need to do, all that God has called you to do, day after day. Take these words of Paul. And in the midst of your struggles and questions, and when you're tempted to say, I don't think I can do it anymore, don't simply repeat these words as though the words themselves will give you what you need. But take them to God in prayer and say, gracious Father, if this was the experience of Paul, if you enabled him, then help me to be able to say, in my experience, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And may you seek the Lord Jesus by all of the appointed means that He has given to us for fellowship with Him. In your Bible reading, in your prayer time, in your family devotions, when you come to the gathered people in church and seek the presence of our Lord Jesus, ask Him, Savior, I have no power of my own. Would you strengthen me? Would you give to me what I need to do the will of God? And if you will do that faithfully, you'll be able to use these same words from the apostle as a testimony to all around you. I can do all things in Him in relation, in union with Him. All things in Him who strengthens me. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for such a wonderful testimony. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for a very real man who knew such experiences in life and yet could also speak of this power of the Savior in his life. We confess that we need that. How can we go into 2020 and hope to be faithful following the Lord Jesus in our homes, in the workplace, among our neighbors and friends, especially in the church, without your power in our lives? Oh, our God, we all know the experience of weakness. May we experience the power of Christ as we go to our Savior, relying upon Him day after day. We do pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.